Okay, Be'ez Hashem, today we're continuing in the ninth parak of Maseches Nazir, and we are up to Parak Tes, Mishnah Gimel. So because we said in Mishnah Beis the concept of Raglayim L'davar, we're going to talk about Raglayim L'davar in other contexts outside of Hilchos Nazirus. So we're going to talk about if you find a body buried in the ground, and no one knew that there was a grave there, so a body can't be relocated once it's buried, you're supposed to leave it there, but if it was buried in a place with the intention of moving it later on, like it happened during Corona a lot of times, where they buried people because they just couldn't get them to the cemetery, the desired cemetery, travel restrictions and the like, so then you're allowed to move it. So if a body is found in the ground and there's no cemetery around, we don't know whether it was meant to be moved later, that was the kavana of the people who buried him there, or it was meant to be there permanently. So what do you do? So amotzei meis batchila, if someone found a dead body, and it's the first body in that area, mushkav kedarko, and is laid out in the normal way that Jewish people are typically buried, so everything seems like a proper burial. Notel tvusa, so he could take it together with the earth that's underneath the body and probably got some of the body juices, some of the body fluid absorbed in that earth and bury it somewhere else. Because a single body that's found not near any other bodies was probably just buried there temporarily. Matza shnayim, if there are two bodies in the area, notlan das tvusasan, then you can move those bodies as well. We still don't assume that it's the beginning of a cemetery that was meant to be permanent. Now the Mishnah tells us the halacha in a case where three bodies are found. In the times of the Mishnah, the way they would bury is the way they're actually doing now in Har HaMenuchos a lot. They dug these caves under the ground in Har HaMenuchos and they bury in the walls. So that used to be the typical way of burying. So usually these caves, now these caves are much, much bigger, but it used to be these caves in the times of the Mishnah were like 4 amos by 6 amos, and bodies were buried in the wall on three sides of the cave, and the fourth side was how you walked into the cave. On the opposite side of the chatzer, there would be another cave, and more bodies were buried also in an area of 4 by 6 amos. So the Mishnah tells us the halacha when three bodies are found. Matzah shlosha, if you find three bodies, im yesh bein zeh lezeh mei arba amos v'yad shmona, if between the first body and the third body, it's somewhere between 4 and 8 amos of space, harezu shchunas kvaros, then you know that this is clearly a cemetery, because that's how bodies would normally be buried, you know, in a cave. So you could assume that it should not be moved, because this was meant to be permanent. Now, since we assume that you found a cave that was meant for burial, we have to also suspect that there might be another cave nearby, because normally it was a whole neighborhood of burial caves. So you got to search the area 20 amos around it. And if you find another body within 20 amos, that extends your search area another 20 amos. And that's why I'm recording this, because of that phrase. Now there's reason to believe that there are more bodies there. Meaning, if you just would have found this one body 20 amos away without having found the first cave, you would have been able to move it. But now that it's in the context of having found other bodies nearby, so now it's Raglayim Ledavar that this is a cemetery. Now we move on to Mishnah Dalet, which is going to teach us about three different halachos, and some of them relate to the phrase Raglayim Ledavar. So the first part of the Mishnah talks about the halacha of Tumas Tzara'as. Tzara'as, we well know, is a skin condition. It's a dermatological condition. So at first, when a person seems to have tzara'as, he has to go to a kohen, and he does not become a mitzora, even if he has all the criteria, because there are other things that have to develop. So they're very often not there when they go to the kohen, so the kohen will put him into hesker. He'll put him into a solitary confinement for a week, and then examine him again later. So says the Mishnah, Kol Safik Nagam B'Tchila Tahar. Any case of a Safik Nagaim, when they come up in the beginning, meaning when the person first comes to the Kohen, or during the one week or two weeks that he's in solitary confinement, are considered to be Tahar. as long as he hasn't yet been declared tamei by the kohen. Misha niska klutuma. Once the tamei declares it, the kohen declares him tamei, sveiko tamei, then any suffix about the tzaras is considered tamei, because once someone is tamei, we assume that he's still tamei until we know for sure that he's become tahar. So that's halacha number one. Then now we're going to move on to tumas zav. Halacha number two of the Mishnah is about a zav, a man who has some sort of discharge. It is not shechva zera. It's some other type of disease that happens where he'll be where if it happens twice, he becomes tamei for 7 days, and in order to become tahar, he has to not experience a ziva for 7 days, and then go to a mayan to be mitar himself. So if he has that three times, not only does he have to go to mayan, but he has to also bring a karban. So when a man has that second discharge, he becomes a zav only if that discharge is a result of the disease that he's suffering from. But if it's a result of something in his diet or something like that, then it doesn't make him a zav. So Bishop Adrachim Botkinas is a zav. There are seven ways to check to see what caused this discharge and if it could be attributed to something else other than his disease. Ad shelo niskak laziva, that's before he becomes tamei as a zav, before we decide that he's definitely a zav. So, for example, b'machal, we look at what he ate. If he ate fatty meat or milk or cheese or eggs, that could bring about ziva. Or b'mishta, we look at what he drank. If he drank yayin yashan or he drank too much, that can cause him to have this flow. B'masa, we look at whether he did a lot of schlepping, a lot of heavy lifting. Or b'kfitza, whether he's been dancing and jumping around. Or b'choli, and we look at whether he hasn't been feeling well lately. Or b'mara, and whether he has seen a woman and maybe that caused him to have this ziva. Or b'hirur, whether he's been thinking about a woman. If any of those things happen before his second flow, he will not become a zav, because we assume that that's what really caused it. Misha niskak laziva, but once he already had two flows and he's already considered a zav, ein botkin oso, then we don't ask questions what caused the third flow. We assume it's a continuation of what of the previous already known illness that he had. So we're not bodek at that point. Onso, so if there was an accidental ziva that happened, usveko, shichvazaro, and the third thing happened with safek, or whether it came about because of shichvazera, temein, so we assume he's tamesh or aglayim ledavar, because once he's ready as of, it's aglayim ledavar that he's going to be as of to the fullest extent, where he's going to have to bring a carbon as well. Now, halacha number three is about someone who was attacked and then died, but we don't know if he died as a result of that attack or he died from something else. Hamakas chaveruva amaduhu lemisa. If someone hit another person and they evaluated that the victim was going to die from this, but then he got a little better, he rallied a little bit, but then it got worse and he died, so the one who hit him is chayiv misa, because we assume that the person died as a result of the attack. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Pater, Shiraglayim Ladavar. Rabbi Nechemia says Pater, because since the person recovered a little bit to the point that they thought he was going to live, he had rallied, so therefore we do not assume that he died as a result of the attack that was carried out on him. So let's review what we learned today. Mishnah Gimel, we said that if you find a mace buried randomly, so you can move the body. If you find two, you can move the body. But if you find three, and the first and third ones are within 48 amos of each other, you have to assume that's a shchunas kvaros, and you need to search the area 20 amos around it. And as long as you find one more body within 20 amos around it, you're going to have to now search another 20 amos, because that's considered raglayim ledavar, that you're in the shchunas akvaros. And Mishnah Dalet, we said three alachos, that whenever you have a suffik negoim, before the person is declared tamei, it's tahar, but once he's already tamei, so any suffik is going to be tamei. And then halacha number two is about a zav, that normally we ask seven different questions to see what might have caused the flow that a zav has, about what he ate, what he drank, jumping, and illness, and what he's seen, and what he's been thinking about. But once he's already had two maros of ziva, then the third one, we don't have to ask any questions about that anymore, because it's raglayim ledavar. davar. And halacha number three was that if someone attacks another person and they think he's going to die from the attack, even if at some point his condition improves and he's not going to die, and we think he's not going to die, but if he then gets worse and dies, so Tanakama says the attacker is chayiv, and Rabbi Nechemia says he's potter, because it's raglayim ledavar, that when he was getting better, that he was going to get totally better, and that he didn't die as a result of the attack. Okay, but from tomorrow, we will continue with Perek Tes, Mishnah Hay, as well as the beginning of the next Masechta.